Good evening. As was announced, I will be reading from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves.
Good to be with you this evening. We want to continue our thoughts tonight on false prophets. We introduced them this morning talking about that subject, and we emphasized how dangerous false prophets can be. And as the passage that was just read for us suggested, we know that false prophets have always been around and they will always be around. Of course, Peter was talking to those in the first century, but his language is applicable to us tonight. There will be false prophets among us. And so we need to be aware of that. It's why Jesus uses the language that he does in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And you notice, again, they come in disguise. They certainly don't come looking like wolves with their fangs exposed and their claws revealed. They want to deceive people. And so they do that very thing. And they are numerous. And again, they have always been. They're destructive to the soul. They set forth destructive heresy. And so we have to be careful of them. But this morning, we began looking at a particular kind of false prophet, and that is the TV evangelist. And so we said for the next several sermons, we're going to talk about this. And if you weren't here this morning, we emphasized that someone might ask, what's wrong with TV evangelists? And so this morning we said they all teach man's plan of salvation. And again, an emphasis on the all there. Every single one of them teaches a man-made doctrine when it comes down to God's plan of salvation. There's not one that I have ever heard of that teaches the truth. In fact, I know that they don't because of their affiliation, and we'll get to that probably next week. The churches that they belong to don't teach the truth with regard to God's plan of salvation, and so we're not surprised that they don't teach the truth. They teach half-truths. They teach God's part in salvation. They emphasize faith, and they talk about the blood of Christ and how Jesus has been raised from the dead. And all of those things are very important, as we said this morning, but the fact of the matter is, it's not the whole truth. There's God's part, and there's man's part. Man's part is to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Those are steps that have to be taken in order to enter into Christ, in order to be born again and become a citizen in the kingdom of God. And so just telling half of the story won't help anybody. And, of course, we realize that it's even more than that. Not only do they just teach half of the truth, but they emphasize that any idea that man has any effort in salvation at all, they believe is heresy. They believe is false doctrine. So they not only don't preach the whole truth, they actually condemn real truth. And because of their charisma and because of who they are and their large following and their very real ability in public speaking and their skill in being leaders, they are able to persuade thousands and, as we said this morning, even millions by way of TV and radio. Millions of people to follow them. But they don't teach the truth with regard to that. Well, tonight, just for a little while, we want to talk about a second thing, and that is they are mostly prosperity preachers. Now, you notice a slight difference there. When it comes down to God's plan of salvation, they all preach error with regard to that. I'm not prepared to say that every TV evangelist is what we call a prosperity preacher. In fact, I know that they're not. There are some who are very dangerous because of various doctrines that they teach and because of all the things that I've already stated about their charisma and that sort of thing. But they don't necessarily preach the prosperity message that these prosperity preachers preach. The prosperity preachers are those who emphasize to their millions of followers that if you will simply give them money, plant your seed to them, then God will bless you. And they emphasize things like poverty is from the devil, and they push and promote that sort of thing. And so anyone who happens to be poor or struggling financially, that of course puts them on a guilt trip. And so they want to get out of that. And once again, the way you do that is by giving them money, and then God will bless you and you'll reap a hundredfold and all of that. But basically their idea is that poverty is wrong, it's sinful, it's of the devil. And so if you're poor, you must not have enough faith, you must not be doing what you ought to be doing, there's something wrong with you. And really, it is a false doctrine, of course. It's a very devilish doctrine. But many of them, while I can't say they're all like that, many of the TV evangelists, particularly the most popular ones, certainly carry that message. And so they're constantly begging for money. And by the way, they are so persuasive that many people will give their life savings over to them. And it is really a shame. It is a sham what they're doing, and it's a shame so many people give into it. Benny Hinn is one of them. He's one of the very popular TV evangelists. I've spoken to you of him before. Benny Hinn, he just has all kind of problems from the standpoint of character. He is without question a liar. And I'm not being cruel to him. Listen, he's been caught in lie after lie after lie. And there's no question about it. He's on record of lying about his family history and where he came from and those kind of things. And God speaking to him and messages that he says that he has heard from God that have proven to be wrong, proven even that he never did get those messages. And so he's a liar. And he just keeps on preaching. Never any sign of repentance or sorrow for anything. He'll just change his story and move on. And people keep flocking out to see him. Well, he says with regard to money, he is clearly one of these prosperity preachers. I don't have time to quote all the things he says. He talks about money often. But he says, God will begin to prosper you, for money always follows the righteous. That's the kind of thing that these prosperity preachers preach. Money always follows righteousness. Well, that's just a lie. That's just a false doctrine. We understand that there are many, even in the Bible, there are many individuals who are rich, who are godly, and who are on God's side, but there are Bible characters, too, who weren't so rich. And the fact of the matter is, this statement is just wrong. But it's typical from these prosperity preachers. Morris Cirillo says, would you surrender your pocketbooks unto me, and let me be the Lord of your pocketbooks? Yea, so be thou obedient unto my voice. Then there's Juanita Bynum. I've put her up on various lessons before, but listen to this. You need to send $1,000. If you can't send 1,000, send 500. If you want the power, you have to sow the seed. Last night you sowed to your ability. Tonight you will sow beyond your ability. You've got 3 days to get that into the mailbox. I'm not afraid to say this. I am walking in my authority. If you don't postmark it by the 10th, we will not accept it. God says you have 3 days to get your $1,000 seed in the mail. Give it to me and you will live. Give it to me and you will have more than enough. If all you have is $79.36, if you can't afford $1,000, just come up with $79.36. I double dare you to empty your bank account. That's prosperity preaching. And I mean, you read that and you just think to yourself, really, how does anyone give into that sort of thing? Is there one single person here tonight who thinks that if you were to send her $1,000 and it arrived on the fourth day, she'd send it back to you? I don't think, no one would buy that. But they often, you can read these kind of quotes and you can tell, and I have dozens and dozens of quotes on various things from these TV evangelists, and you can really tell when you're reading them that they're making this stuff up as they go along. And you know, one of the things with the TV evangelists that a lot of it, and we're not going to talk about this in this series, but a lot of it is emotionalism. And their service is meant to be very emotional. Like before they ever get up on the stage and start preaching, they've already fired up the crowd with musical instruments and singing when they're just rocking out. And so by the time the preacher, by the time he or she gets up and starts preaching, everybody's fired up and it's like a frenzy. And people just buy almost anything that the preacher preaches. But this is, again, just an example of what they say with regard to money. Paul and Jan Crouch, they said, I believe both of them have recently passed away in the last year or so. But anyway, they were very popular, particularly in California. That's where TBN is centered. And the Trinity Broadcast Network, that reaches millions and millions of people. I'm sure it's going on still. I don't know who's in charge of it now, but they say force God to perform a miracle by planting thousands of dollars and your last dollar. Do you have a sick child? Don't go to Jesus in prayer. Plant cold cash into TBN and God will make your child well. These quotes can go on and on. They're prosperity preachers. And most of the TV evangelists that you see on TV, these very popular men and women, are prosperity preachers. They buy into this. They at least come across as truly believing that God wants you to be rich. And if you're not rich, it has to be a lack of faith. You're having a problem spiritually somewhere. Well, the truth is, the Bible doesn't encourage the pursuit of earthly riches. And here is a danger of these preachers. They lead people astray on many different areas. I suppose this isn't the kind of threat that we talked about this morning. As I said, this morning may be the most important lesson of all. The idea that they preach error with regard to God's plan of salvation. But this is error too. It's false teaching. And it leads, of course, to people, as I said a few moments ago, it leads to people turning over thousands and thousands of dollars, sometimes their life savings, to these individuals. And there is a spiritual danger, of course, as well, because when these individuals are watching TV and they're being moved by, again, the powerful preaching of these men and women, and they're moved to the point where they start writing checks, but they never see that hundredfold blessing. They continue to have bills and they continue to be in debt and have all these problems. Well, how do you think they respond to that after a while? It's amazing how long people will go on engaged in that sort of thing and putting trust and faith in these men and women until, again, they've lost their life savings. But many of them look at that, and because they equate that with true Christianity, they end up leaving the faith. And so obviously, even this kind of thing is dangerous to the soul. But the truth of the matter is the Bible never encourages the pursuit of riches. And that's the message of all these TV evangelists who are these kind of preachers. You need to be pursuing riches because poverty is of the devil. Well, Jesus said, of course, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I said a moment ago, there's nothing wrong with being rich. We have Bible characters. Abraham, one of the greatest Bible characters, who was not only a little bit rich, he was very rich. And we have other obvious Bible characters who are on the wealthy side. There's no sin involved in being rich. But that should not be your pursuit in life. And that's the very thing that these preachers are encouraging. And most of the time, it is a message, of course, that will resonate with those who are in poverty or those who are struggling financially with their bills and making it from month to month. They hear that message and they are deceived. And they think they find the answer to get them out of the troubling situation that they're in. But it's not of God. And so God doesn't encourage the pursuit of that. Listen to Paul in this familiar passage. Verse 10 is the passage that we're most familiar with, that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money, it's the love of money. But before verse 10, he says, but those who will desire to be rich fall into temptation and into a snare and into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now listen at that. Those who desire to be rich. You've heard me say before, as Christians, we should not have that desire. There shouldn't be a Christian here tonight that has being rich as a goal in your mind. That should not be your desire. If you work hard with your hands and God blesses you and you prosper financially, you have a good job and things go well, that's wonderful. Praise God. Give Him the glory for that and use the money that He gives you in a wise way spiritually. But that shouldn't be your goal in life. That shouldn't be your desire. We should not desire to be rich physically. We should want to be rich in the gospel. We should want to enjoy the riches of Christ. But being rich monetarily should never be our goal. And that's what Paul says. He writes by inspiration. Those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation, into a snare. Why would you want that? And yet it's the very thing that these popular preachers are encouraging people to desire. They're feeding, in fact, on the desire, misdirected desire, that many individuals have. And so clearly that doctrine is false. We all remember Colossians 3. Of course, Paul said, seek those things that are above, not things that are on this earth. How would you ever line that up with the message from these prosperity preachers? They simply don't go together. The prosperity preachers seem to be the only ones prospering. Here's the sad thing about it. Like, these people are sending literally thousands of dollars to these individuals for their so-called ministry. But most of that goes to them personally. Just enough to keep the ministry going, but all of these prosperity preachers are very wealthy. The ones that have national programs and who preach to thousands, they're all wealthy. In fact, most of them are millionaires. And yet they're taking all of this money, mostly from people who are on a monthly budget and can hardly make ends meet. There is something fundamentally wrong about that, but that's the TV evangelist. These popular individuals that you see, all of these popular ones, most of them at least, fall into this category. They're rich and they're getting richer by receiving funds from poor people. There is something wrong with that. Morris Cirillo's personal ministry mansion, two-story home, is over 12,000 square feet. It is behind two secure gates in the richest neighborhood in America and has been estimated at over $12 million. And he's begging and begging and begging money from the poor, and they're giving it to him. And again, that's the case with most of them. TV evangelists Jan and Paul Crouch of the Costa Mesa-based Trinity Broadcasting Network have purchased a Newport Beach house for close to $5 million. The home was described as a palatial estate with ocean and city views. The house they bought has 6 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, a billiards room, a climate control wine cellar. Really? That's interesting. A sweeping staircase and crystal chandelier. The three-story, nearly 9,500-square-foot house, which has an elevator, also has a 6-car garage, a tennis court, and a pool with a fountain. Like, no wonder they're preaching this prosperity doctrine. They're getting rich. And this is the case with these TV events. Creflo Dollar, who we saw this morning, has unabashedly enhanced his name by building a religious empire on the message that his brand of piety leads to prosperity. Like, this is one of the things. In fact, I've heard them talk about, you know, they've been questioned by news programs and things about all of this prosperity, and they have a lot of answers for it. But one is that they say it's great for us to be wealthy because people can look at us and see what God does. And so we need not only to be wealthy, we need to flash our wealth. We want people to see it so they'll know what God will do for them. Problem is, God's not doing that for them. They're the only ones that are getting rich. And again, they're getting rich off of the poor. But that's his brand of piety. He claims his brand of piety leads to prosperity. He drives a black Rolls Royce, flies to speak an engagement in a $5 million private jet, and lives in a $1 million home behind iron gates in upscale Atlanta neighborhood. That's the life of these prosperity preachers. And they all claim, it's just sort of interesting, they all claim that Jesus was rich. See, these are ways that they are justifying. The very fact that they find the need to try to justify their wealth in so many different ways should raise a flag in itself. It's almost like they're guilty. So, yeah, we're wealthy, but that's to help you. And, we live in these mansions. We have these jets. Nothing wrong with that. Jesus was rich. And they promote that. Among those who teach Jesus and the apostles are rich. Not just Jesus, but the apostles are rich. Are Oral Roberts, Creflo Dollar, and Kenneth Hagin. And, of course, many others. But this fellow had these guys in mind for some reason. But many of them preach this. Fred Price, he was in my neck of the woods. He has a huge church in Crenshaw, California, and he basically has a congregation where all of the famous athletes and things in the L.A. area will attend his church. I may have told you before, I once, when I was preaching in Long Beach, California, I had a Bible study with a couple from his so-called flock. And it was kind of embarrassing as we were going, at some point in the Bible study, they started to brag how they had, the congregation had given Mr. Price a Rolls Royce. And they, you know, they kind of asked me, what the congregation, where they give you? Well, they haven't given me anything so far as a car is concerned. But that's what they do. And so these guys are lifted up. I haven't even talked about preacheritis, but their flock, of course, they all have preacheritis. And these guys are millionaires, and they're still the congregations where they preach that usually make up thousands give them gifts like Rolls Royces all the time, and clothing and all kind of things of that. Material. It's a very materialistic doctrine and lifestyle. And it's amazing so many people give into it. This is what Fred Price says. The Bible says that he, as Jesus, had a treasurer named Judas Iscariot. And the rascal was stealing out of the bag for 3.5 years. And nobody knew that he was stealing. You know why? Because there was so much in it. He couldn't tell. Nobody could tell that anything was missing. That's how he knows Jesus was rich. Remember I said this morning, these guys, again, they can say things. They don't have to put their finger on the passage like we do. They can say just about anything. And people are going to go along with it because, first of all, they're already in a frenzy. And they're guilty of preacheritis. And so whatever they say, they don't really even think, well, I wonder if that's really in the Bible. They just accept it. This fella, I don't know who he is, but he said, this is just, I put this up here only because it's interesting with regard to John chapter 1. We don't have all the pieces of the puzzle here. He said Jesus had a nice house, a big house, big enough to have company stay the night with him at the house. Let me show you this house. Go over to John, the first chapter, and I will show you the house. Now, he doesn't, in this statement, I don't know where he went in 1 John. But I tell you one thing, there's nothing in 1 John about the house of Jesus. So I'm not quite sure. I think I have an idea what he was talking about there. You remember in John when it says the world is his and the fullness. It doesn't say that, but it does say the world is his. I was thinking of Psalms for a minute there. But in John chapter 1, it says that the world is his and emphasizing that they believed him not. And he is the creator, of course, of the world. And so those are the only passages that I could think that he's thinking of. So it sounded like he took him over there and said, see, Jesus had a big old house. See, the world is his. And used that for justification for his prosperity doctrine, emphasizing that Jesus is rich. So it's all right if he's rich because Jesus is rich. Now, child of God, that's a house big enough to have company stay the night in. There's his house. But the point of it is, again, you have to kind of fill in the blanks here with this fella, but they're all preaching that Jesus was rich. But here's the truth about Jesus, and we don't have time to, you can make notes here. Jesus was born in a stable. You remember that, of course. And I've heard some of these preachers go to the opposite end of this and talk about how that Jesus was and Mary were being persecuted so much. And we know the story of Luke chapter 2, that they ended up in a stable because there was no room in the inn. Because the census that were going on, they just ran out of room. That's all. It wasn't really persecution. But what it does indicate is that Joseph and Mary were not rich. Because rich folks didn't end up in that sort of situation. Those who were wealthy, things would be arranged for them ahead of time. They wouldn't have to worry about showing up at a particular time. That whole scene cries out, Jesus was not, of course, it wasn't even him, it was his parents, but they weren't rich. Jesus wasn't brought up in luxury. That's just something that they have conjured up in their own mind. After the birth of Jesus, I should say, Mary brought Jesus to the temple and made an offering of a poor family. You go back and read that and read what it sort of implies, what they offered at the purification there, and then go over to Leviticus chapter 12 and you'll find what they offered was what was allowed under the law if you couldn't afford a lamb. Doesn't sound like they were rich. And then, of course, we have the familiar passage where we find that Jesus had no place to lay his head. The point of it is they make things up as they go along. Why would you, I mean, really, what's the big deal? Why would you even feel the need to stand before hundreds of people and say that Jesus was rich? Because they have an agenda. They want to justify their own wealth. Especially because they're often preaching to people who are poor and begging them for money, even though they live in mansions. And so they want to emphasize that Jesus is rich. Well, if you follow these preachers, following these preachers will make them rich, but you poor. And that is exactly what we see over and over and over in real lives of people who are truly struggling. And, of course, it is sad. Proverbs 22 at verse 16. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. Like, nowhere in the Bible are we encouraged to give to the rich. The rich are encouraged to help the poor, to share their riches. That is, of course, the right thing to do in Christ. But never are we encouraged to give to the rich. And yet you have these people who are rich, who are begging for money, and people are giving it to them because they tell them this is the right thing to do spiritually. Demonstrate your faith. Sow your seed, your faith seed. And God will bless you. Beware of the TV evangelists. They're leading people away. And again, there's a spiritual danger involved in all of this. But they're ruining lives, what they're doing. While they fly around in their million-dollar jets and live in their mansions and drive around in their fancy cars, people are truly struggling to make it from month to month. But they somehow find enough money to send checks to them. It's a really sad situation. Beware of the TV evangelists. We'll have more next week about why they're wrong and why we should not support them in any form or fashion. As I said this morning, I wouldn't encourage you to listen to them except for on rare occasions at all. Someone brought to my attention, I think, Doug, a fellow, I can't even remember his name, Van something, but he's a so-called expert. None of them are really experts because they teach false doctrine. But among denominational people, he's a so-called expert on premillennialism. And I remember listening to him while I was preparing a syllabus on premillennialism just to get it, you know, right from the horse's mouth. So, you know, but I wouldn't even encourage Christians to do that unless you're very grounded and be careful. They could lead you astray. And all of them have, as I've been saying, charisma. And they have ability. They can persuade people. That's what they're great at. I would encourage you to stay away. If you're flipping your TV, flip right past those stations. Beware of the TV evangelist. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? If you haven't obeyed the gospel the way the Bible tells you to, then you will die in your sins. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we're so blessed that God loved man so much, he thought of man so much, that he sacrificed his only begotten son so that we could be saved. And yes, God has the sovereign right to command us, and he does. He commands that we repent of our sins and that we be baptized, Acts 2 and at verse 38. And if you want the forgiveness of sins, you must obey God. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2 at verse 12. You do that by obeying the gospel. Why not do that tonight? All those who obey not the gospel will experience eternal destruction in a devil's hell. Paul talked about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Obey the gospel. Hope that you will. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.